Welcome to Conversations with Ask Ash. Conversations with Ask Ash focuses on people, processes, and outcomes. Ashley dives into everyday conversations around work efficiency, team productivity, and project execution. Let's get into the show. And now, your host, Ashley Schuler.
What's happening, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of Conversations with Ask Ash with your host, Ashley Schuler. This is an exciting time. We're in the Built From Scratch series where we have been exploring this concept of what does it mean to build from scratch? Your program, your project, your initiative, whatever it is that you are building. What does it take? And I love this because we're in an era where the work is changing. It's more complex. We are in environments where we're in hybrid culture, we're in remote work, we're in this digital first work environment. And a lot of things pertaining to the future of work are changing. And we are at the forefront. Us as project leaders, we're at the forefront of this. And it's exciting because there is a level of innovation, excitement. This is where we press into our three core tenets of what does it mean to be a next-gen digital PM. You have leadership, strategy, and execution. And today, we're going to be doing a couple things. Number one, I have a really cool Harvard Business Review article that I want to talk about, which focuses on the future of work, the project manager edition. And I also am going to be diving into team operations and what does that mean to build that from scratch? Some of you may be even restructuring how your team is operating, your processes, your communication, your apps, the technology, the whole nine, right? And I'm excited to dive into what we should be thinking about in this current era that we're in. All right. Well, let's get into this article. And this is going to be linked into the show notes. This is a great article, the Harvard Business Review, What the Next Generation of Project Management Will Look Like. I like this a lot. I'm going to just pull out a few key points of this article and then, yeah, we'll have some conversation. And I definitely want you all to provide your feedback on this. So there is a shift in the role of project management. And I've been talking about this for a while. This is just something that I've seen in my current experience, in the conversations that I've been having with individuals. And I'm telling you, there are some serious shifts that are going on with the role of the project managers, the way organizations are evolving, the business models, the structures, and everything. And so we'll get into the three core tenets that I believe, or the three core tenets and the foundational pieces that I believe of what does it take to be a next-gen digital PM. And we'll dive into that. But in the article, it's talking about a couple of things. Businesses are adopting agile development and product management model. And work is being delivered through agile methods and through product model. Traditional project management activities, such as validating requirements, maintaining scope, measuring benefits, have become the domain of autonomous delivery, such as Scrum and Fusion Team. Moreover, recent technological advancements, most notably is generative AI, meaning that many project manager tasks such as resource utilization, tracking, and business case creation can be successfully automated. Now, I want to put a pin in this because I think we should take out a few points of each of these that we have here. So in this article, right, so they say that Gartner did this research. And they say that businesses are increasingly adopting agile development and product management models. And so what does that mean? Because agile has a bit of a mystery. It's also something where I was speaking with an agile expert, and they often, a few things that both of them had said is that some people think they know what agile is, meaning that they read about it and then they hear about it and they're like, oh yeah, we got to do agile, right? Because it is often something, and at least for me, it was something that was branded as, oh, it's flexible, or you get work done really fast. There are self-organized teams. And so yes, Agile development is any project management methodology that uses an iterative or flexible approach. So, you know, we may get into that in another episode. I might even link to a Systems Lab Live where I talk about the Agile piece I did on a live stream. But some of the use cases of Agile is in product development, software development, engineering projects, things like that. A lot of organizations really like this aspect of Agile because it's more flexible, there's more collaboration. They feel it's more efficiency when it comes to Agile. And so I think one thing we have to make sure that we understand, and I'm a big proponent of culture, current process, measuring what that is. When you're introducing Agile into an organization, you'll definitely need to, you know, take a real strategic approach into, you know, how you're going to do it. And are you going to be the Agile champion, right? Certified, or you have at least the skill set to understand what it means to implement Agile. And as many of the other Agile experts that I've talked to, they say it's more of a mindset than it is about the particular process, right? Agile is a mindset. So I wanted to put that, those little things, those few points in your mind. So some of the four pillars of Agile is individuals over process and tools. They value team collaboration and teamwork over independent work. Work software over comprehensive documentation. So they're into, okay, developing the work, not necessarily all the documentation that goes with it. Customer collaboration over contract negotiation. Something that's really good about in an Agile environment is allowing the customer and bringing them in the process early enough so that they understand what's going on, getting feedback, going back and revisiting and retooling the project itself. And then they respond to change in a way in which it's quick and they can do it without derailing the entire project. So that's a little brief synopsis into Agile and what you all may be thinking about when it comes to adopting those particular methodologies and methods. Traditional project management activities such as validating requirements, scope, measuring benefits have become a domain of autonomous delivery. Well, this is interesting. I don't know if I've ever heard of this, but I do think that the fundamentals, right, of, all right, you need scope, you need to understand like the benefits of a project and the requirement. I think this is still an important activity and a process that everybody has to go through. I would think regardless of whether it's Agile or traditional, can you automate this? Possibly. It all depends. Again, even when we talk about introducing AI, which is in the next point, which is helping with utilization tracking, resource management as well. They're saying that this can be successfully automated. So here's an interesting aspect of it, because I think when we come to some of these project management tools, I think one thing that's going to be a game changer is ensuring that whatever AI or automation features that are taking place, especially for the AI portion of it, it has to be something that's really going to help leverage the project in such a way where you can say, man, this made a difference of having AI. Like without it, I don't think we could have gotten an outcome. That's really what I'm looking for, especially when I'm investigating a lot of this AI work. So if there are companies out there like ClickUp that are going to create their generative AI or their version of the AI where it can really put together schedules, ooh, that would be exciting. That would be exciting. Now, something cool that, you know, ClickUp AI is doing is when I'm writing out a particular task, and then I usually put a description in there of like what to do. They have, and if I have subtasks, they actually go and suggest AI subtasks. So I've done that before, you know, based upon what's already been written. And some of that's been helpful, others not so much, but I think it's highly dependent on what you're providing the AI tool. At least that's my perspective on it. So as a project leader, these are some of the things that we should be thinking about. All right. What's the use of newer project management methodologies? Where do we need to skill up at? How do we ensure that even the more traditional aspects of the project management activities, if you're going to use automation and automate things, making sure that the heart and soul of that work is still taking place and still meaningful. And then, of course, with AI, you know, seeing its usefulness. And it's seeing how it can really help when it comes to the project work. So the article talks about like what the next generation skills look like. Organizational awareness, data acumen, cross-functional collaboration, decision-making, willingness to explore and adopt new technology, financial acumen, process and framework expertise. That means business process improvement, agile, organizational change management, and risk. Customer centricity, growth mindset, and the ability to coach and motivate their team. So some of these skills that they've listed go into my own framework and philosophy on this question. What does it take to be a next gen project leader? And that's leadership, that's strategy, and that's execution. So let's go through each one. When we talk about leadership, and I mentioned it right here, the ability to coach and motivate teams, we're talking about what is your own leadership framework? What are your values as a leader? I think this is really important. Something that I'm currently doing and exploring in terms of one of my own personal goals is diving deeper into two assessments that I've taken over the past couple of years, the DISC assessment and the StrengthFinders assessment. Shout out to Dewan and Juan. Listen, I didn't even say their last names, Dewan Matunga and Juan Alvarado. Excuse me. Dewan Matunga is a certified, brilliant DISC facilitator and educator in this space. And he has a course that he put out, and I took that course. And I have to go back into it. I created a Miro board that just breaks down all of the DISC assessment. And then I have my own DISC assessment as well. And then Juan Alvarado, who I've met through another organization, he is a StrengthFinders coach. And so he provided me my first StrengthFinders assessment. He did a really great job with coaching me through thinking through what do I need to do to grow. And I love that tool as well. It's like, I never can pick one over the other. I always mention both because I like both a lot. I think they both have their strengths. And so what I'm doing even in this season is I am developing my value set. I'm making this into a Miro board, a value set. I'm going to eventually turn it to like my own like leadership playbook, but that's what I'm doing. I'm going to go back through the DISC assessment, going back through the training, and I've already started that. So I'm going to go through so that I can understand my own leadership style and my own way that I go about talking and communicating and leading and motivating and coaching team members. When I did the Next Gen Digital PM series in the summer of 2023, we talked a lot about emotional intelligence. I think this is something that is super overrated. Oh, sorry, not overrated. That is something that is not talked about enough, is the emotional intelligence of us as project leaders in this space. And it's something that is so instrumental in what we do. What is our EQ, and how does it relate to our RI, our relational intelligence? Hello, that I'm telling you, it's a game changer. So the second particular tenet that I focus on is strategy, and something that was already mentioned previously about process and framework expertise. You know, we talked about the methodologies of PM. This is something that is really, really crucial to the projects that we're working on right now. Gone are the days, and I'm just talking about myself, gone are the days where we just take what we did before and just adapt it to a new project. And so we have been challenged, I believe, in these last few years to really look at this and say, all right, each project is unique. And there are a unique set of challenges, strengths, unique set of circumstances. And so the project approach and the strategy is going to be different. And so be willing to level up in skill set and level up in your methodology and your particular approach to projects. And then lastly is execution. And I love this because execution is not just, did you get the task done? Execution is about the decisions that are being made. This is about the cross-functional collaboration. This is about using data to make decisions and things. And so execution is not just, we got the work done, check mark. This is about, how do we get the work done? What is the effects of the completion of this work? And that's just, my friends, just so, so instrumental and so important. So those are the three core areas when we talk about the next gen digital PM, leadership, strategy, and execution. I will also link a couple of playlists that I have for my live streams where I talk about this in a few different types of ways. Some really cool information that you guys can look at. And yeah, it's like I said, it's really, this is a really critical time where we look at what we're looking to do as project leaders within our teams and our organization and all of that. So very good. Awesome. So we've talked about the future of work, and that dovetails into team operations. Some of you may be in a position right now where you're like, I think something's not working. What's happening, everyone? I hope that you are enjoying the Built From Scratch season. I love that we're unpacking this topic. What does it mean to build a program, project, an initiative, and sometimes your life from scratch? And did you know that there are three reasons typically why projects fail? Number one, poor planning. Number two, unclear goals. And number three, miscommunication. So what do we do about this? We build better workflows. Yes, we build better workflows. And in fact, I have a service that will just address this, the ClickUp and Project Management VIP Day. I'm excited about this because I get to partner with you for one day to set up workflows that are going to help you plan better projects, execute efficiently, and be able to do away with miscommunication with your team members. Oh yes, you're going to have a peace of mind. Sounds like a dream? Well, it can be your dream. So be sure to apply for the ClickUp and Project Management VIP Day. All the information is in the show notes. Back to the episode. Some of you may be leading a team for the first time. Some of you maybe have led a team for a minute. And maybe you're like, I think I'm just going to blow everything up, right? Listen, I was in an era where I was all about blowing stuff up. I was like, let's just get rid of it all, right? And I think for a lot of people, that's scary because you're just like, okay, what do you mean by blowing stuff up? Okay, what do you mean by that, Ashley? So let's really dive into this particular topic because I think this is really valuable, regardless of, you know, of where you all stand on this topic. So team operation, team ops is a team sport. Okay. And yes, I did say risk management is a team sport. And you're probably wondering, is everything a team sport? I think so. I think for the purposes of what we're looking at, especially in this particular lens of this Built From Scratch series, we are talking about a team sport. Exactly. And with that, you have to know yourself and know your team. So this is a key piece of self-awareness. This goes back to the first core tenet of the next gen digital PM, which is leadership. Knowing yourself is everything, okay? Knowing who you are, knowing how you think, knowing how you communicate, how do you handle conflict? How do you handle adversity? So crucial. And so you as a project leader are in a position to really influence how the team is going to be shaped. But you don't do this alone, right? You don't do this, any of this alone. So as we look at this from the perspective of remote hybrid work teams, return to the office, team operations is a hot topic. And so when we think about knowing ourselves and knowing our team, this is about to be my number one play that I think you all should take, which is pull everybody together so they can feel seen and heard. What does that mean? That means that when we are looking at adopting new tools, when we're looking at changing up meetings and the structure and things like that, make sure that you get folks involved. Get folks involved in what is going on. Get them involved in what needs to be retooled and what needs to be reshaped, but get them involved so that they can contribute to the solution. Now, someone out there saying, well, Ashley, ain't nobody really care about, you know, if they're involved or not. They're just like, let me just get this task done. I'm tired of going in and like I'm going out into like it's Black Friday and I got to go in and feel like I got to struggle to find the document. They're people who just like, just point and click, show me where it's at. And my friends, that's okay. that's okay, because you may have to be in that position where you may have to jumpstart the process yourself and show people, hey, this is where we're headed, but I want to make sure that you're included in what's being developed. So take that approach as well. DISC assessment, we just talked about it, DISC and Strength Finders. Somewhere, somehow, you all should be advocating, if you don't already, for the resources for personal and professional development assessments for your team to help you understand how people communicate, how people are thinking, you know, what their particular strengths are. It's an invaluable tool. It is something where it really helps you to understand and appreciate who you are as a person, and not get so bogged down with, you know, oh, I wish I could be like this. Nah, you supposed to be who you are, nothing more and nothing less, right? So being able to get a Strength Finders, get a DISC assessment, having your team members to understand how they think, how they act, how they operate is so good. For instance, for the DISC assessment, I am an 88S, which is stability. 88 is stability. I is interactive, or you might say influence, but in my, what is the D? D is the decision making, and the C is cautious. And so what's cool about that is I am high as an 88S, which is my pace. And then I'm a high I, so it's about the people on every side. Okay. And then the C, I believe, is at a 77, and my decision making is at, it's at like a low, it's like a 20 or something like that. It's kind of low. And I used to feel bad because I used to say, I can't make no decisions. But that wasn't the case. That was not the case. It's really how I approach new decisions. And because I'm a high C as well. For me, I have to have the facts. Like, I'm not a high risk taker. Can I take risks? Absolutely. Absolutely. I can absolutely take risks. However, it is not something that I am prone to do naturally. So what's really good about that is understanding that if I need to make a decision, maybe there's somebody that can quickly pull the facts together and help speed along the process. And I think that is really, really good, just to be able to have somebody on your team that maybe is like, they're bigger on the decision-making aspects of. So I think that's really important, you know, to note as well. So that's it. Understanding who your team is. Also too, what's great about the DISC assessment is it can provide insight into system setups and the types of tools that need to be selected. So that means that as you're looking at different work management tools, project management tools, communication tools, you can begin to think through, you know, all right, so this person prefers, you know, to communicate in this manner, you know, this person likes to, you know, communicate in this manner, you know, and then you're able to say, all right, you know, do we have something that can cater to these particular needs? So that's just something to think through. Now, if you don't have the opportunity to be able to get the DISC or Strength Finders assessments, that's fine, because as you bring people together, this is where you can whiteboard this out and really talk about, all right, what makes sense for us as a team? What's really working? What's not really working? You know, everything in between, like talking through that is going to make a huge difference. What are the obstacles? You know, have people to provide concrete examples. Open up your current tools and your setup so that you can begin to see what is not working and proposed solutions to streamline it. So when I just mentioned workflow. So another key tool to this is another key tip that you should look at is workflow setup and refinement. So taking inventory of workflows. So this is an interesting aspect to the next gen digital PM, because most of you all, 9 times out of 10, are in a position now or already heading into a position where you're not just focusing on the projects that you're working on. Like, that's not just the only focus. The focus is now, well, hey, we need a process for X, Y, and Z that benefit the entire organization, right? Like, you know, it's more process driven, okay? And so taking an inventory of workflows. So that could mean content workflows, project workflows. This could be by department. This could be employee onboarding. This could be your sales workflow. So let's look at your existing workflow setup and seeing what needs to be refined, what needs to be scrapped totally. And this is another great group activity. So pro tip, y'all, definitely use Miro to workshop this stuff. This is a perfect opportunity where this is a great collaborative meeting or meetings, because 9 times out of 10, you will need some sort of cadence for maybe this limited project that you guys are going to be working on. And so looking at these content workflows, looking at the project workflows, who heads these different workflows? Who's responsible for them? And again, assessments are your friend, people. Going through and evaluating and seeing what's going on and being the diagnostician behind what's happening is really going to help to amplify the process of identifying what's working, what's not, and what needs to be refined. So let's do that. This is a great homework assignment, which is looking at the inventory of your workflows. Maybe this is a quarterly goal that you can really work towards with you and your team. You can set a deadline and then begin to maybe having a couple of meetings to say, all right, we're going to do some workflow refinement. We're going to look at our current workflow. And again, you can do phase one and phase two together. So you can bring your team together. You can start to talk through, you know, what's working and what's not working about, you know, some of the current workflows and the setups and things like that. You know, which tools are hindrances, what actually prevents people from being more productive. And then you can get into who owns these workflows, what is, you know, the particular inputs of these workflows, what are some of the delays, all these types of things. And so look at this. Yeah, look at all of your workflows. Lastly, selecting the apps and the tools. So taking inventory of your apps and tools. Okay, taking inventory. So similar to what you're doing with your workflows, look at what apps may need to be ditched and what may need to be adopted. Okay, so if you have two tools that do the same thing, you don't need both. Let me tell you something. At one point I had Miro and I had Whimsical. I had both. I was paying for both. Why was I paying for both? Because I was like, well, what if I don't like Miro? But then I ended up loving Miro and using Miro. And I was like, well, what if I still don't trust it? Because it's a mindset shift to switch from one tool or another. And so I think it's really important to think to yourself, all right, what makes sense for the team? What's not working? And, you know, and go from there. So when you're considering replacing an app, make sure that you are gathering and storing your data safely, making sure that you're ensuring that all billing is closed, right? Ain't nobody want to pay for something they're not really using for real. And then also, when you're looking to adopt a new tool, you don't just shut it down and say, all right, tomorrow we're using the tool. What you should do is you should set out a process to pilot this tool, especially if you're going from one project management tool to the other. You should have a timeline for when you're going to start to shut down, you know, the other project management tool, adopt this new tool, pilot it with a few people, and then start to see and test out that particular workflow in that process. Speaking of workflows, as I just mentioned, Miro is going to be a big help in all of this. It's going to be really big because as you look at and start to evaluate the tools and things, I would definitely set up a Miro board that looks at your current tools, why that you use them, what workflows are attached to them, what happens if you switch over to the new tool. Let's talk about the apps and the integrations, talk about where you can store data, all of those types of things. You know, you want to be sure that, you know, you understand from top to bottom what's going on when it comes to your current inventory of tools and then when you are transitioning into the new tool. Now, something else that I think is just a cool bonus to all of this when it comes to these team operations is coming up with your own team agreement / collaboration plan. Now, you said, Ashley, what is a collaboration plan? I'm going to tell you. A collaboration plan is really something that I started to introduce a little while ago, but it's this concept where you're not just focusing on, all right, what's our team communication? Like, you know, like what do we do in terms of, you know, audience and method and what we're communicating and the methodology. We're taking it a step further because we are really making some guidelines on when and where and how to collaborate. So there is such this huge emphasis in this digital first work environment to say, collaborate, collaborate, collaborate. I mean, we hear it all the time. We let's collaborate. Well, sometimes you're thinking to yourself, now, if we're doing all this collaborating, are we getting our work done? Or how can I get my own work done? These are some of the questions and conversations that I'm having. And I think really the question is, how intentional are we being about our collaboration? So I think a couple of things. Number one is, what constitutes having a collaborative, let's for instance, call it a brainstorming meeting or even a strategy meeting. I think that is such a, I think that this is a good opportunity to look and evaluate when you're collaborating and when you're not collaborating and when collaboration is needed. And if that's an internal, you know, decision to think through. So the way that I usually make that particular evaluate that decision of like, all right, what needs more collaboration and where do we need to pull back? Like, what areas does that look like? Definitely when we are working on, and I mean, we could be, you know, me and some colleagues or, you know, me and, you know, some clients and things. If we're building something new, if this is something that requires input, something that is needed to move a particular task or deliverable forward, that is one indicator that collaboration is needed. And so when we think through some of the programs, projects, and initiatives that you're working on, you know, think through what parts of the project will need more collaboration than others. What's great about coming together to think through a strategy is that you can walk away, and this is so key, by the end of the meeting, walk away saying who needs to do what and when. That can really help supercharge and propel the speed of your work by being able to, at the end of the meeting, identify who needs to do what and when. Oftentimes we're collaborating, we're having great synergy, we're having snacks, we're laughing, we're in it. But then at the end of the meeting, after, you know, an hour or so, we're like, okay, that was great. Good idea. But good ideas, you know, having information out on a Miro board or a Google Doc, that's great. Like, you can just have it there. But what about what needs to take action? So creating a collaboration plan is something that is really going to help everyone understand, all right, this is something we need to collaborate on, but we also need to be intentional about what are the particular outputs that we need to execute on to move a project forward. So think through that. Let me know what you think about that. Give me some feedback on a collaboration plan and where you think that might fit or not within your team or organization. Well, friends. As we wrap up, I want to talk through a couple of action items. So one thing I want to talk to you about, or really three things. Remember, get your team together. Outline what's working and what's not. Okay. This is a very people-centered process. So while there may be an emphasis to, we need to make a change, we need to make a change now, remember, people are always central to the process. Number two, systems don't work without the right workflow. And I'm a big proponent of evaluating workflows, looking at what's not working. And what I love about this is that once you begin to outline your workflows, you can go back. It's so much easier to go back a second and third time to look at something to say, is this still working the way we need to? What adjustments or refinements do we need to make? And lastly, pilot your project. There's always a strong emphasis of let's turn the lights off and on. Like, let's adopt the new tool tomorrow, when there needs to be some preparation for that. So pilot your projects, take as much time as you need. And be sure to, you know, continue to get your team involved in the process, which can make it, again, a better experience for everyone around. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of Conversations with Ask Ash. We are a family, the team operations episode. Be sure to provide feedback. I'll give you the ways to do that inside the show notes. But be sure, send me an email, send me a text, you know, carrier pigeon. Ah! Just kidding. But send me some feedback on what you're thinking about this particular episode. And if you would like some follow-up or if you wanted me to expand upon some of these concepts. Thank you all so much. And be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Greatly appreciated. And we will talk soon. Thank you all so much for tuning in to Conversations with Ask Ash with your host, Ashley Schuler. This is the We Are Family Team Operations episode from the Built from Scratch series. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Until the next episode. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Conversations with Ask Ash. Please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and follow Ashley on social media at Ashley_Schuler. That's ASHLEYSHULER_.